time now for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Just a cursory view of our culture is all it takes to show that we really are in a sea of chaos. Now, the only answer can be found in the solid, strong word of truth, the Word of God. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, our pastor here at United Reformed Church in Linden. Let's head now to the Word of God that we might find comfort and strength and solace in time of need. Once again, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us today at Abounding Grace. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, and yesterday and the day before, we took up the subject of the perseverance of the saints, that those who come to Jesus Christ in true faith will not ultimately be lost, but will undoubtedly be carried through all the way to eternal life. And we looked at this week, that is not a very well-received teaching in the Christian world, simply because many have witnessed those who have claimed to be Christians walk away and then later deny everything they ever said they believed. And so we put experience up and we hold that against what the Bible teaches. But we have to let the Bible be the final author and the final determiner and rule of faith and life. And the Bible tells us clearly that those whom Jesus has been given by his Father will undoubtedly, unequivocally be brought to everlasting life. None of them shall perish. And yesterday I went through a few verses to set this in us. I want to go through a few more again today and hold these out in front of you to hear just how glorious this is. This is not anything to run from, because if salvation is up to you, that's a scary path. Yeah, you could have it today and it be gone tomorrow if it's up to you. But the comfort is it's not. Salvation is up to the Lord Jesus' work in saving those who have rebelled against him and have run the opposite way. And as the father with his prodigal son, Jesus goes after his sheep. His sheep hear his voice, and he goes after that one, leaving the 99, to bring back those given to him by his Father. Think of John 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. So not one of his sheep can be snatched from his hand. John 17, I've manifested your name to the men whom you've given me out of the world. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. So in other words, those given to Jesus, he will not lose one. He's revealed his Father's name to them, and right now Jesus is praying for them, and I know that prayer is heard. If Jesus is praying for you, can that prayer be left unanswered? What if Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ? Now, there's certainly no reason he could give you any confidence if a good work could be started in you, and then on that day you find yourself to be eternally lost. It's bad news. Who can forget what Ephesians 1 says? In whom, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is a guarantee of our redemption of the purchased possession. Sealed. You have a guarantee language there. We could go on. Romans 11, 29. The gift and calling of God are irrevocable. They cannot be lost, right? 2 Thessalonians 3, 3. The Lord is faithful, and he will establish you and guard you from the evil one. All of these promises and assurances that salvation is ours now, and to live in fear that it might be lost goes against everything of what faith in the promises and belief in Jesus is all about. That's why it's so heinous to reject this. Can you imagine the disciples standing there, the multitudes rejecting Jesus in John 6, and Jesus blatantly and clearly saying, all that the Father has given to me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up the last day. The good shepherd will shepherd them, his sheep, through all the way to the end. He will not let one thing happen to their souls. He will carry them to their final destiny in heaven. And that promise is for you today if you are a believer in Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? If you believe today and have come to him in true faith, leaning and resting upon him, not trusting in anything that you do to be saved, you have this promise. If you have the grace of God and have come to know and love Him and see His work in your life, isn't it powerful and yet overwhelmingly humbling to think that He must finish what He has started? Now, after all of this, today's message, today's Arminian would have us to believe that the Father would give some to the Son. Follow me closely. The Arminian today would have us to believe that the Father would give some to the Son, and then the Son can actually and will lose some of those who were given to Him by His Father. They would have us to believe that some could be plucked from Jesus' hand. They suggest to us that even though Jesus prayed for us, that when He was here, that we would be sanctified and still continues to pray for us to His own Father, that we would be kept from the evil one, John 17, that prayer might not be heard, and there still remains the possibility of going to hell forever. The work could be started in us, Philippians 1:6, and then at our own failing, it will not be completed. It is the most terrifying thought ever to think that one day, think about this, my friends, if you struggle with the doctrine of perseverance of the saints, because it's totally in the hands of the sovereign God, it is a terrifying thought to think that one day you could be in the hands of a sovereign, loving God, and the next day, because you've done something that has offended Him, I just might find myself in the hands of and under the control of Satan. I ask you, where is the gospel in that? I ask you, how can you walk out of your whatever you're doing today, in your job, your home, your car, whatever, how could you walk with any comfort? You don't have any. And yet time and time again, we read that all of these things were written in the Bible so that your joy would be full. That doesn't square. It just doesn't square. Now let's take this to its logical conclusion and say, well, if you could lose your salvation because of your failure, if we take that to its logical conclusion, wouldn't it be better to die soon if God is pleased with you now? Because later you may do something that ultimately will land you in hell. If you know the depravity of your own heart, this is not a very positive outlook on the rest of your years here on earth. I mean, one pastor said it this way, this mistaken doctrine of Arminians teaches that a person may be a son of God today and a son of the devil tomorrow, that he may change from one state to another as rapidly as he changes his mind. It teaches that he may be born of the Spirit, justified, sanctified, all but glorified, and that even then he may become reprobate and perish eternally, his own will and course of conduct being the determining factor. My friends, this horrible message. I hope you can say with me, blessed be God, because our gospel does not leave this in our own hands. He's right. The idea that one who has received saving grace and then loses it really, in essence, is saying that it all comes down to my works. That is the issue. That is what I proposed to you at the beginning of this study. It really is a denial of salvation by grace through faith alone. Look, every true Christian has to confess that grace was given to him without any view toward the goodness that resides within him, because there isn't any. When God elected us, when Christ died for us, when in time His grace came to us, there was nothing attractive that He saw in us, nothing that made Him say, well, I think they're pretty worthy of my acceptance and choosing. If that's true, that God knew our ingratitude in the first place, that God knew that we despised Him and are totally depraved, are we to think that later on, once His grace was given to us, that He will say, oh, they continually reject me and do bad things, therefore I'm going to pull my grace since they have been so disobedient? God's love is wholly in God. It has no view to what's in us. Our justification is based on the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ through faith. It cannot be lost because it rests outside of us in every way. And because it is wholly outside of us, our works do not come into play. Look, a mother doesn't love her child because the child's lovely. Her love leads her to do all she can to make the child attractive and to keep it so. It's her love for the child that matters. So it's God's love for the Christian that matters, because they've been given to Him. The Father gave them to Jesus, the Son. And so he goes on to say, this is so true. The mistake that salvation can be lost is premised with the idea that God loves us for our own goodness. If at some point we become unlovable, then salvation can be lost. Now, it is true that we must be growing in sanctification. A good tree will bear good fruit. God works that in His own. But the point here is that we are all unlovable. Salvation rests wholly outside of us. It's not dependent upon us. Thus, those who are going around saying we can lose salvation de facto are saying that salvation is dependent upon us, our own good works. That is why the teaching is so scary. Think about it, and I want to leave you with this thought today. Wouldn't your knowledge of the future direct your actions now? I mean, if you knew your friend was going to go steal your car, I doubt you put a lot of trust in him to let him borrow it, right? I mean, you wouldn't just give him the keys. So too, if God is all-knowing and omniscient, which He is, then surely He wouldn't set His love upon us today if later He knows that we will reject Him and be eternally lost. The point is, God doesn't give grace with any view to our own works. It's sheer grace. And so too, all of our salvation is sheer grace. Those whom He's called will be justified, sanctified, and persevere to the end, because the whole thing is of His wonderful electing grace. Rejoice today in His sovereign grace in your life if you believe in Jesus. Listening to these series on the doctrines of grace the past few weeks, I really hope you share the joy and excitement that should be here when we consider these things. You, if you are a Christian today, are in the hand of the sovereign God who must do what He has promised. And that is an ultimate comfort to us as we go through this life of pain and trial and travail. Would you like to know more about this Jesus who does accomplish salvation on behalf of His people? Join us this Sunday, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. at the Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ today continue to richly bless you.